From the wilds of Dartmoor, in Devon, England, welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show. Coming up this week, e-bikes might be a threat to cycling after all, but the reason why, probably not what you think.
Yeah, we've also got a roundup from a busy week in ultra endurance, some hot new tech, and why pro cyclist Niels Pollitt has just joined a very exclusive list.
Not a list I want to be on, though, to be fair.
Nope.
This week in the world of cycling, we learned that Remco Evenepoel knows how to choose his teammates by swapping Wout van Aert, Thijs Benoot and Jasper Stuyven in the road race for YouTube star Average Rob for the after party. Which looks like fun until you hear the soundtrack.
Yeah.
I mean, it's distinctly Belgian. Is that happy hardcore? I think it might be. It's not the easiest listen anyway. We also learned that SRAM have just launched a gorgeous looking new gravel group set, SRAM Red Axis Explore, which will change the way gravel frames are made by utilising what's called, nerd alert, the universal derailleur hanger to fit the rear derailleur directly onto the frame.
Yeah, this system has quietly revolutionised mountain bikes. Are we set for the same on gravel and road?
Yes. Although you can check out the full video on GCN from last week if you want to know more. Now, we also learned this week that Niels Pollitt is the latest to join an illustrious list of pro cyclists. Mm. He was in the mix at the Olympics for all the right reasons in the road race, but also an emergency nature break. What luxury, though. Instead of hiding behind a bush or in a ditch, he got to stop at the quintessentially French brasserie, the Café de Moulin, made famous as a location for the iconic film Amelie.
Yeah, happily for Niels. As you can see, there were one or two fans outside giving him potentially the biggest cheers of the day.
Yeah, now, post-race, he said he didn't know quite how much time he lost, but we've been doing some digging,
haven't we,
mate? Yeah, from looking at his Strava from the race, we can estimate quite accurately that he was stopped for a total of 3 minutes and 20 seconds.
Yeah, speedy and clearly no time for coffee and cake. Also, weird though that it was the Café du Moulin, given the most famous rider to take a dump mid-race in recent times was none other than, yes, you guessed it, Tom Dumoulin.
Uncanny.
Very.
Neil stops at Dumoulin. Tom was Dumoulin.
Yep.
I would also never thought that Tom was called Tom Two Windmills.
Well,
but there
we
go. Mm. Anyway, moving away from the Olympics and back into the nitty-gritty of the real world. Although there is something quite nitty-gritty about being desperate for a loo and having to run into a cafe, isn't there?
I wouldn't thought
so. Yeah, anyway, there is something increasingly concerning going on with e-bikes. And to the extent, actually, we think that some action might need to be taken.
Yeah, it should be easy to fix, but someone has to fix it. Okay, so there are three distinct types of e-bikes, each one conforming to different local laws.
Yeah, or not conforming to, which is kind of the point, isn't it?
Yeah.
So in many parts of the world, e-bikes are, as you probably all know, limited to 250 watts of continuous power and restricted, crucially, to 25 kilometers per hour. Mm. Above that, the pedal assist cuts out, leaving the rider under their own steam.
Yeah, these bikes are universally regarded as being really safe. They are helping hand, not anything more.
Nope. In other countries, though, like in the US, that speed limiter kicks in at much higher speeds. I think it depends on state to state, doesn't it? But it means they can cruise way quicker, I believe up to 30 miles an hour or 28 miles an hour.
Yeah, which, to be honest, I was absolutely blown away by the Fazua motor-equipped bike I was on in Arizona. It was just insane how much power it got and how fast you can cruise along on dirt and dusty roads.
How fast did you go on dusty roads?
I mean, I was sitting at like 35 miles an hour.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Crikey, right, okay. That is quick, isn't it?
Like genuinely rapid.
Mm. I mean, you are genuinely rapid.
True.
So it might be that like a mere mortal would be going at 28 miles an hour.
Well, I mean, the power did most of the job, mate. Motor did, yeah.
Except helping you get up that hill.
Well, then,
that's another story.
Too much talk.
Anyway, the final group of e-bikes are throttle-powered e-bikes, which means that whilst it has pedals, you don't actually need to pedal in order to move. However, crucially, most of those that you see don't have particularly powerful motors. They effectively use normal e-bike motors.
Yeah. In Europe, that second tier of turbo e-bike is known as a speed pedelec, and they are legal but are treated more like motorbikes, so you need a registration plate and insurance. In the US, they are normal bikes.
Yeah. Now, you see, we think that distinction is what's causing the problem.
Okay? Yes.
On roads, turbo e-bikes, absolutely fine. The issue is that they're not confined to roads. They can go on cycling infrastructure, right? Shared use paths where we mix with pedestrians. And that is causing real friction.
Yeah, worse though, lightweight electric motorbikes are now also being called e-bikes by many media outlets. These are basically fully fledged motorbikes, but are yet flying under the radar of legislation.
Yeah. Well, either that or they are legislated for. It's just that everyone's riding them.
True.
And not registering them.
Yeah.
So what we're advocating for here really is kind of boring. We basically just need a clear distinction in the names of all these different types of bikes. So they're not all called e-bikes.
Yeah. E-bikes you can use on a cycle pass because they're restricted on speed and power. Speed e-bikes you have to ride on roads, and then e-motorbikes.
Which makes sense, doesn't
it? It does.
You would hope that governments are aware of these differences, but given that we're talking here about some pretty nuanced things, right? Specific wattages, kilometres per hour, pedal assist, non-pedal assist. I suspect that many politicians and civil servants are completely unaware of this. And my fear, right, is that all e-bikes, and then kind of by extension bikes, get tarred with the same brush, right? And then someone somewhere brings in restrictive legislation. You know, to be clear, I think that e-bikes have a huge part to play in the future of transport, but I worry about this.
Yeah. To be fair, electric motorbikes could do as well, as long as the legislation keeps up. Those electric scrambler bikes are still really lightweight and so quite efficient, certainly compared to motorbikes and cars. And they are really cheap, aren't they?
They're really cheap. What's weird is they're cheaper than a lot of, like, e-bikes.
Yeah.
So you can
see
the attraction. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's an efficient way of getting around,
yeah.
Even if, at the minute, they just look massively dangerous.
Yeah, 100% agree.
I bet you'd love one of those, wouldn't you?
I would. I've actually been on one, and they are ridiculously powerful compared to e-bikes.
Did you do massive jumps?
There's the distinction. Yeah. Well, Blake did. I just kind of, like, watched, and he said just really careful on the accelerator, because as soon as you touch it, sends you off.
Whoa.
The power's insane.
Okay. Now, we've kind of digressed, haven't we?
Yeah.
But anyway, we need some kind of legislation for this, and we also need education, don't we? As to the different types of e-bikes, because at the moment, I think it's all too easy to see people on two wheels as all of the same, when we are definitely not, are
we? It seems like everyone's getting annoyed with electric-powered scooters and speed e-bikes, so it's only a matter of time before something will need to happen. Let's hope the powers that be are ahead of the curve.
I mean, we can hope, can't we?
Yeah, we can.
Just keep our fingers crossed. Anyway, let us know what you think about this. It'd be really interested, actually. Have you had any kind of experience of these turbo e-bikes, either good or bad? Mm. Lloydie was having a moan.
Oh, why?
Because I forget where it was, but there was like a pedestrian bridge, and he kept getting, when he was walking over it every day, he kept getting like
buzzed
by people on de-restricted e-bikes. Anyway, but yeah, and what, if anything, do you think should be done about this? Whilst we're talking about urban transport and so forth, can I give you a happy little update?
So you've got the floor.
You are, thanks. You lot are, you know, in the know about Bristol, my hometown, and our traffic woes, mainly because I talk about it on the GCN show. Anyway, the other week in our Carspiracy video that we put out, I was talking about one specific instance where a bike lane has been shut in order to give pedestrians use of the bike lane because the footpath was shut. And then bikes were just being sent into two lanes of traffic. Anyway, how cool is this? The sign has changed. Yeah, and so now that bit of bike path is a shared use bike path with pedestrians. So if you are happy to drop your speed on a bike and then mix with pedestrians, you can stay safe and segregated from traffic. But then you've got the option. So if you want to maintain your speed and you're happy going in traffic, then you can do.
And that was all off the back of the video.
Oh, I'm absolutely not claiming credit for that. But, you know, Bristol City Council, if you're listening.
Yeah.
It was duly noticed. Yeah. Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts now, and we're going to start with the news that we've all been dreading. Mainstream news networks have picked up on just how dorky time trial helmets now look.
Yeah, in fact, New England Cable News posted a helpful explainer on their website for why cyclists at the Olympics are wearing increasingly crackers helmets.
Yeah, they actually interviewed track rider Lynn Williams, who said, "We look silly and we know we look silly."
Yeah. Well, fair play to winner of the Olympic women's road race, Kristen Faulkner, who was wearing her very cool POC helmet as she soloed to victory, as opposed to the very fast POC helmet that she'd used to win the prestigious early season Omloop Van Het Hoogland.
Yeah, to be clear, that was the very cool POC helmet as opposed to the very, very fast,
yes,
POC
exactly
helmet. Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you what, though, we should also give Kristen Faulkner just a plain old shout out for being the boss.
Yeah.
Oh my word, she looked so strong at the end of that road race, didn't she? Some people said that it was perfect tactics that helped her attack stick. I think it was that, and she was the strongest rider in the race.
Oh,
big shout, I know, but she ripped that last section, didn't she?
Yeah, and even more crazy that she hadn't even been selected initially, and she was still unsure about starting just days before in order to not jeopardise her team pursuit squad on the track. Literally unbelievable.
Well, it is, really, isn't it? Apparently, even midway through the race, she wasn't sure whether she should see it through to the finale.
Mad.
There's some lessons to be learned there, folks. Sport can teach you all kinds of things.
It really can.
All eyes also now on the American Team Pursuit Squad, because I think they've got some firepower.
Just a little bit.
Although they might be tired. I mean, she might have gone out with Remco Evenepoel and listened to some Belgian happy hardcore in celebration.
I mean, who would have turned down that party?
I would actually turn down that party. No, I wouldn't. I would have maybe. You know.
Man, I could have seen you bouncing and stomping about.
Yeah. Right, anyway, speaking of fast, as we were, albeit in a different way, it's Leah Wilcox update time. She is still averaging 170 miles a day on her round the world record breaking attempting. What is it?
She's trying
to break the record for riding around the world. So she's still up on her schedule, but the average is dropping slightly.
Yeah, it really is. But she's nearly completed New Zealand, though, and then is flying back home to home soil, riding south from Alaska to LA as the next big leg. It's going to be a nail biter to see if she can stay ahead of the current holder, our very own Jenny Graham.
Yeah. I can't wait to see this one unfold. Brilliant, isn't it? Vedangi Kulkarni as well, who is the challenger to Leah Wilcox, who is herself the challenger to Jenny Graham, as you said, has now flown to Australia, hot on the heels of Leah Wilcox. And so she is also tackling a ride across the country in the depths of winter.
Yeah, it does actually look pretty grim, to be fair. Check out this video.
Yeah, I don't fancy that.
No.
I mean, I say I don't fancy that. It's coming to us in a matter of weeks anyway, isn't it? Winter. I did see Leo getting involved in the comments.
I thought that was really cool, actually.
Yeah.
Just seeing a bit of collaborative, you know, support.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have done that. If someone was challenging me to ride around the world, I'd been like, you know, do everything I can to undermine her self-confidence.
Yeah, and, I did love seeing that post.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I only joke. I wouldn't do that. I'd be too busy for Instagram. I'd be riding.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see how it goes. Won't we, really?
Yeah. As we filmed last week's show, we could only predict the outcome of the transcontinental race. Robin Gimperl did indeed take the win, complete the 4,052.45 kilometres in a time of 215 hours and 59 minutes. But second place went to Abdullah Zainab.
No, it didn't go to Abdullah Zainab. So last week, as we were filming, it was like literally hours from the finish, and Zainab was pretty comfortably in second, possibly challenging for first.
But then
inexplicably finished fourth.
Yeah.
It was actually Christoph Strasser who finished 4.5 hours after Gimperl. The reason being, Zainab had accidentally missed a mandatory section of route on the final day and had to retrace his steps. It's a move that saved his race because he'd have had to have been DQ'd.
Yeah.
It cost him a podium after 4,000 kilometres.
Oh, that's got to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
But you can never hold Strasser down. And I did see this from Strasser, who posted a few facts on his Instagram that really brought the event to life. Crashes, 0.
Good.
Dog bites, 1.
Oh.
10 flat tyres, 20 navigational errors, 50 frustrating moments, and get this, just 21 hours sleep with over 200 hours.
That is...
I just don't know how these guys do it. That's a lot of sleep deprivation.
Oh my goodness me, yeah. I mean, fair play to them. Absolutely. Not for me these days. Oh, no, whatever, actually. The first woman to complete the event was Jana Kiesenheimer, who came in 13th overall with a time of 267 hours and 57 minutes.
Yeah, another epic time. Now, if your appetite has been whetted by talk of ultra endurance routes and races, maybe have a look at this new event. It's 5,000 kilometres long, which takes a route through the 8 of the Balkan countries. Do you want to name them?
I will do. Slovenia, Croatia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Montenegro, Albania, Kosovo, North Macedonia, and Serbia. Yes, geography fans, that is your 8 Balkan states.
Your geography degree is coming in useful there. I do see it.
Ah, oh, my poor old geography degree. Let's not even go there, Hank. Let's not go there. It's not an event, it's a route. It's a new route called the Transdinarica, and it looks absolutely stunning.
Yeah, it really does. And if you don't believe us, check out some of the promo videos and photos on their website. It's mainly paved, but has 600 kilometres or more of it is dirt.
Yeah, one for the bucket list, for sure.
Really, it truly is.
I think you need quite a lot of time to do 5,000 kilometres.
Yeah.
Unless you only want to have 21 hours sleep. But I think it would be a dish best served over a couple of months.
I would totally agree. A proper adventure.
Oh, so cool. So cool. The Balkans seems like an amazing place and a paradise for cycling.
It really does. Now, on other news, F1 driver Valtteri Bottas, who enjoys cycling, we know this because he featured on GCN 6 months ago with Alex. But the question is, just how much does he like it? Now, Valtteri Bottas was asked a few questions with Formula One. If you had to give up coffee or cycling, which would it be? His response, that's an absolute terrible question. That would be a very cruel life, but it would have to be coffee, and he'd have to start drinking tea.
Whoa.
And to be honest, I agree with him. That would be the worst life decision, giving up one of those two. They're the two great things about life.
They are, but that's cool coming from an F1 driver.
Exactly
isn't it?
That.
As opposed
exactly
to like
that.
A cycling nerd who works at a cycling company. Anyway, Dan actually was out interviewing Valtteri Bottas and Tiffany Cromwell at Canyon HQ.
He was
last
indeed.
Week, and I'm very much looking forward to watching that interview.
Yeah, me too.
I have a feeling there's quite a revelation from Valtteri about the first time he rode a bike, Dan was saying.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I reckon
it's
we
like a Niels Pollitt
moment. I reckon we should get him in the show. If you're watching Valtteri, you're welcome to the GCN show.
If he's watching, of course he is. Word up. Right, next, make sure you have next Monday in your diaries, folks, because the Tour de France Femme Avec Zwift is starting then. So it's the first time since the rebirth of Tour de France Femme Avec Zwift that it's not coming immediately after the men's race, which is cool. Well, I say it's cool. I suppose it'll matter for the race, but nice that it's got its own calendar spot this time.
Agreed.
It runs for 8 stages from the flatlands of the Netherlands through the hills of the Belgian Ardennes, which could make for a spicy stage, and then into the Alps and what is sure to be a memorable finish on Alpe d'Huez.
Yeah, how cool is that? After last year's successful race finish on the Tourmalet, the organisers are going one better, arguably by finish on top of the most iconic climb of them all.
I'm going to be watching it on Alpe d'Huez in real life. I can't wait.
Mate, it's going to be unbelievable.
It should be unbelievable, shouldn't it? In celebration of the race, Zwift are giving away 2 very cool-looking custom-painted Zwift rides, which, of course, they're new indoor training bikes.
Yeah, that looks absolutely sick in that orange and pink colourway. Now, a quick reminder that sign-ups for the Zwift Racing League have now opened. This is the opportunity to either enter a team or join an existing one for 6 weeks of racing in September and October. Now, last year saw 35,000 riders take part in different time zones and all ability levels. So get involved. You will not regret it.
Yeah. Tuesday night, Zwift Racing Night.
That's it.
6 weeks. And that's the first season, isn't it? This winter. This autumn. Yeah.
Winter's coming.
I know. tell me about it, mate. I'm bracing myself already. Oh, God. August is almost one of the worst months, isn't it? Because you just know what's
coming. It's
just
on the horizon.
Anyway, let's not go there right now. lastly, in cycling shorts, we've got some more some exciting news for GCN members. Okay, so indeed. Two more GCN Plus documentaries are dropping this week. Now, if you're not already a member, a reminder, there are three membership tiers, right? So the entry level shows your support for GCN with a loyalty badge and gives you exclusive emojis to use. The second tier unlocks access to over 50 GCN Plus films. The exact 50 that are up there at any one time will change over time. And then the top tier gives you all the above and an exclusive water bottle and signed book after a year of supporting GCN.
Yeah, now if this is something that you really love and value, make sure you let us know in the comment section below, because we would love to see you all get involved with those membership programs. And to a huge thank you, all of you who have already signed up and getting involved and are watching those great films that are back on the scene.
Yeah. Yeah, your support, we couldn't do without you. So thank you very much.
It's now time for your favourite bit of the show. It's hack / bodge of the week. And we've got some absolute corkers coming up, starting with this one from Si.
I'm going to read it out. But actually, yeah. It's from Pete Shark from Bellingham, who, where's that, Washington. They say it's a fairly decent bike-friendly town, but there are loads of dead-end roads that you can get through on bikes, but the signs just say no outlet. So Pete Shark had 150 stickers made up that are the same colour as the sign to point out to cyclists and pedestrians that the route is open to them.
Which I think is a great, you know, community.
Yeah. So in 4 years, they say they've placed 138 of them around town in the dark, wearing black, all by bike. Hopefully not on an e-bike. You don't want to give them a worse rep than they've already got. But yeah, I think that's super duper cool. And it's, as they say in their post, like, it's a prime example of moto normativity, right? It's like the authority makes the sign because you can't get through, when in actual fact, like, as long as you're not in a car, you can get through. Yeah. So yeah, wicked. Not only is that a hack, but that's also a high five.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, we've never done that before, but I think that's like an extra accolade we can afford.
Oh, for sure. No, you roll with it.
We can do what we like, can't we, basically?
Yeah. Right, graffiti typist, during the recent heat wave, I turned my bike maintenance stand into a refreshing outdoor shower. Now, at first glance, I thought, actually, that's a cool idea. But then as I looked at it slightly closer, I realise it's just going to be too small, unless it's for, you know, I mean, I'm 5'10", and I just don't think I would get it. I don't think I would get under it.
5'10".
But I like it. I do like it.
I think it's cool, but I don't think my bike stand goes that tall.
No.
So, But
you know, I like the ingenuity. I like thinking outside the box. I'm here for that. So yeah. I'm going to say it's a hack.
Not an outdoor shower for everyone, but for those it fits,
yes,
that's a hack.
Yeah, exactly.
It? Basically, yeah, fair play. Next up, we've got this one. I'm not sure who it's from, actually. Oh, my goodness, I'm sorry about that. But it is good. So, I'm going to give them a hack, and I don't know who it is. So, they crashed and broke the mounting off the back of their GPS computer, and then they fixed it with super glue, carbon powder, and a blue tack mould, to the extent where it looks like it might have worked, which is phenomenal. Who knew that carbon powder was a thing? Like a structural thing.
It does look remarkably good.
It does, yeah.
Fair play. I've never used carbon powder before, but I might just use it in some of my podges.
Yeah, I mean, let us know when it breaks again.
Yeah, exactly. How long does it last?
Yeah, still, I think what a great way of reusing your GPS.
Exactly that. Another one.
Are we saying hack?
We are saying hack.
Yeah, okay.
For sure. Who needs a seat bolt clamp? A 1991 Giant Peloton seat post seized. Luckily, it was the correct height, so I just removed the clamp and reduced the weight of my bike by a whole 26 grams.
Whoa.
The Giant Peloton back in the day were made from TIG welded, double budded, 4,130 air-cooled chromo, by the way, so they are, in my opinion, the best underrated steel frames ever made.
Well, there you go.
So, just kind of like welded straight on.
Well, no, I mean, as in like it's seized, isn't it? So it's bonded, basically, chemically bonded. Well, amazing, you've just created an integrated seat mast for your Giant. I wonder what the indoor training company, Peloton, will make of that, given that Giant got there first with the name. They're pretty hot on that peloton. Yeah. So, you know, maybe Giant need to come out swinging and say, by the way, guys, we got there first.
I've actually done a hack. It's not quite similar to that. When I've gone to a shoot and I basically just left the clamp at home. And I've had to, before filming, wrap electrical tape round the top of the seat post and then wedged it in, and it's lasted for a week.
No way.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
I mean, it's quite risky.
Grade A bodge from Hank there.
That is my ultimate seat post bodge.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, like this is quite a good way of making the best of a bad situation.
Exactly, yeah.
But, oh man, there's nothing worse than seizing a seat post.
There is nothing worse.
I got roundly told off because I took my city bike into our local frame builders because the seat post had seized. Yeah. And it just gave me an absolute bollocking.
Really?
Yeah, he did, yeah. And then he got a blowtorch out.
To heat it up.
To heat up the seat tube. And
oh my gosh.
So yeah, like it's like a permanent reminder of my rubbishness.
Know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you'd have thought I'd have known anyway, having been doing this for quite a while. It wasn't my first seized seat post either. Anyway, I've learned now.
Yeah, now you know. Simon.
Now I've learned. After he gave me that bollocking. But there we go. Anyway, keep them coming in. That was a full house of hacks this week.
It was indeed.
It?
Yeah, thank you so much for getting involved. And don't forget, if you want to get involved, make sure you send us your photos so we can talk about them next week.
That's it. The link to the uploader is in the description beneath this video, which is also where you find the button to join memberships,
which is the one you want to hit.
Yeah, except on iPhones, weirdly. So the desktop version, Android phones, that's all fine. But if you are using an iPhone, you won't be able to see the membership button. So that's not our fault.
No, that's not our fault.
That's not our fault. But yeah. So you need to use your desktop, basically.
Another reminder, a bit of an aside,
wasn't it? But there you go. It's time now for caption competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you got to do is put a witty caption in the comments section down below. We'll pick a winner next week.
Yeah.
Of course, it has to relate to a photo. Instead of just putting something funny in the comments.
I mean,
section.
You can do it. But,
well, yeah, we like them. Yeah. And we'll often pick them out, but you won't win a Camelback water bottle.
No.
But anyway, we'll do results for last week where we gave you this photo of Tadej Pogačar.
Yeah, we did indeed. Walking onto the Tour de France podium with his bike. The winner of capture competition this week is Aero as Duck. Caption for hi ho, hi ho, I'm off to win yellow. I go. I just put the I go, but
I think I was just saying he ruined his caption.
Yeah, hi ho, hi ho, I'm off to win yellow.
No, I thought that was good.
Good enough to win the bottle, actually.
That's it, yeah. I'm assuming you've all watched Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Yeah, it was a
childhood favourite. That'll be a weird one. But anyway, there we go. Right, this week, the photo that Hank has picked out for you is this one of Alberto Bettiol at the Olympics, looking very cool indeed, isn't he?
That's one way to say it, yeah.
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 Shall I have a pop?
Yeah, go on, have a pop, mate. Okay. Have a pop.
Alberto Bettiol, a.k.a. Mr. July, with his cheeky pose.
Hello.
See what I did there?
Yeah, I do actually like it.
Like a calendar pose?
It is a proper calendar pose. What do you reckon he does when he's not riding? Probably posing.
Posing. Yeah, probably. Well, I mean, that's it. Like, it takes one to know one, doesn't it?
Exactly. You're not wrong.
Right, get involved in the comments section down below. Undoubtedly, you can do something far, far better than that.
One would hope, anyway.
One would hope, and there's a bottle up for grabs.
Over the last week, we've had loads of videos onto GCN's platform and you guys have been commenting. And so we thought we'd pick out some of the best ones. Now, after last week's show, Paul put, I would like to thank Manon for her time on GCN. It is because of women like her being positive role models in the sport that my daughter Sabrina has become an avid cyclist. You can't see yourself in a sport unless you see yourself in a sport. One of her highlights was meeting Manon at the Paris to Ancaster gravel race. All the best, Manon, in your future endeavours, and thank you. No, it was really nice. And it was nice to see Manon go off to another another chapter.
Yeah, indeed it was. Yeah, so many amazing comments, which we enjoyed reading, and I know that she has enjoyed reading as well. So thank you very much, everyone, for your support. And yeah, what a time she had.
She did.
Yeah. Amazing. I've forgotten about Paris Handcaster, actually.
This is what happens. We do so much cool stuff that we almost forget until we get reminded about what the cool stuff
is. Her video that she filmed with Magali Rochette is one of my favourites, actually. Yeah. Magali was super cool. Yeah. Pair of them together was great. Mr. Deftone 1 said, "I'm not crying, you're crying. Good luck, man. We'll miss you, but I'm sure you have some exciting plans for the future." So, super cool. Right. Underneath, is cycling clothing worth it? Advert Bikes said, "Hearing wear what you want after about 5 seconds made me watch the whole thing. Thank you for being chill. There you go.
Connor is always chill currently, so we're off the coast of Ireland on a surfboard, chilling out. Yeah.
Well, we know Connor, how cold he gets. He probably is really chill right now.
Very, very, yeah. What I eat for health and longevity, another one of Dan's episodes that I thoroughly enjoyed. So if you haven't seen it, make sure you go and check it out. But we've got one from Sean Daniels, loving the down-to-earth fitness, health and general well-being content. Thank you. And I've got to say, you know, Dan is getting really involved in it. And it's great to see, isn't it, him back on the channel.
He doesn't do things by halves, does Mr. Lloyd?
No, he doesn't.
Clayton Jones said, "I spent my whole life as a carpenter builder. And after years of typical cafe breakfast, snacks and beer, etc., for some reason, I decided last November to buy a bike at 62. I cut out all snacks, cakes, chocolates, etc. Gave up the beer in 2019. And now my diet is pretty much the same as yours. This lifestyle change has enabled me to get from 105 kilos to 87 kilos. That is pretty cool." He said, "Thanks, Dan and GCN team. You've genuinely played a significant part in my fitness and now passion for cycling."
Oh,
Thank you very much, Clayton, for that. So, so cool, isn't it? Awesome.
Now, last comment was actually from a video that Man and I filmed over in Alpe d'Huez. How much faster and lighter bikes, Ragamuffin said. Ragamuffin. I do like that. "I'm starting to feel lucky I have more than 10 kilograms to lose on my body for free." Yeah, there you go. If you don't want to pay for a really lightweight bike, you might as well lose some weight.
Well, that is true, yeah.
I mean, I could do with some losing some weight, but we'll see.
It's because your pecs are so big, mate.
I don't know why. I just put on muscle here. It's annoying.
Oh, my heart bleeds for you. I just so much as look at a gym and I put on muscle.
Mate, seriously. Right, moving swiftly on.
I've got the same problem.
I don't know
whether you can tell, but there you go. Before we go, let us tell you what is coming up on GCN over the next week, shall we? Hank, what is on Wednesday?
Wednesday, how to plan a great cycle route. Thursday, get more for less. And Friday, city bike descending, where I descending a city bike down Alpe d'Huez, which was terrifying.
Was it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, spoiler alert, you survived.
Just about.
Okay, all right, we're checking it out. On Saturday, we bought Britain's cheapest road bike, which cost unfathomably small, £82.50 for a brand new road bike.
That's wild.
Yeah, that is like, there's a lot
nowadays,
of bikes for not much money.
You can bet you can't even go out for dinner for less than that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's like, yeah. Anyway, how bad was it, was the question. So we answered that in the video. And then I'm really looking forward to watching this one. So Coast to Coast in Search of England's Last Rainforest.
Yeah.
You think, given the reputation of this country, that we would have a lot of rainforest. But no, there's just one small bit left, isn't there? And you and Connor went to look for it.
And yeah, I mean, you've got to watch it. It was unbelievable. And
it was
so good. Yeah, so good to get out and about and get into the wilderness with my very good friend, Connor Dunn.
I don't know why, but I've got like visions of Jurassic Park going on. Was it like that?
Yeah. It was just in the middle of the moors. It was wild. Genuinely, yeah. Really good fun.
Man.
So make sure you keep your eyes out for it, because I look forward to delving into comments, because I want to see you guys in there.
All right then. Challenge laid down by Hank. Great stuff. Right. Well, thank you everyone who has watched the GCN show for this week. Bigger thanks to those of you that are still here. Medals all around, you know who you are, particularly the foam rolling crew, there are a number of you. Right, we will see you next week, won't we?
Yeah, see you next week. All the best.